Hi, I'm Danica Johnson.
And I'm Crystal Leconte.
And we are Champion Chat 360.
All right, well, hello, welcome to a very special edition of Champion Chat 360. I might sound far away today because I'm downstairs, and baby girl is here in the world.
Yay!
So she is napping, and Danica and I are finally going to be able to talk because I didn't want to tell her the story until the whole birth story and everything until I actually could talk to her and see her, because I'm selfish that way now, where I'm spoiled, I guess, where I get to see her and talk to her that way.
You can be, but I was like, anticipation is building, I'm getting anxious.
So I am 1 week out. Wait, let's do your check-in first. Let's see how you're doing, and then we'll get into all my crap.
I don't know if we want to check in with this mama bear. This past week has just been a really rough week. I have swelling on my ankles, and mostly my right one, and then my foot swelled up a little bit, and that was concerning to me because at first it was just one.
Mm-hmm.
And my belly seemed more distended all of a sudden. Like, obviously I'm growing a human and it's distended, but it seemed to be protruding out a little bit more and very, very, very uncomfortable. So, and I just felt off, and I went to the doctors yesterday just to get a check-in, and they are like, this is pretty much all normal and you do have swelling, and it could get worse, it could get better, there's no really telling. And yeah, I don't know if it's because everyone around me is having...
Literally everyone?
Literally everybody is done. And I'm like, hello, is my number going to be called next? Because I have a number, I want to go. Is it my turn yet? But if it's that, or if it's like the... I don't know, just you get uncomfortable in the past, like in the last like part of it. It's not that like the whole entire thing is comfortable, but... You get, I think, more uncomfortable towards the end. Mm-hmm. And, like, you could definitely talk on that, too. But, yeah, I'm tired, which is, went to bed at 8 o'clock last night.
That's nice.
It was nice, but I looked at Matt, and I was like, do you want to go to bed? And he was like, babe, it's 8. And I'm like, I know. I don't really care. But, yeah, just my insulin is increasing mm-hmm. every week now, which I wonder if that has stuff to do with how my body's feeling.
Yeah.
And I bet you that definitely has something to do with it, but just uncomfortable, mm-hmm. uncomfortable and anxious.
Yeah. And that's exactly how I felt. I think the anxious part is because you're in 30 now, correct?
So she's measuring at 31 and a half.
Oh, okay. So that's good. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I think I did see your post that said that. So that means, you know, sooner than later, possibly.
Yeah.
So that's a plus. It's hard because in the last... I guess technically 8 weeks. Not that you want it to go in the 8 weeks, but it could go any time. That's
right.
Kind of where I was like, as you get closer and closer to the due date, you literally could go any time. And that's the anticipation part where you're just like, it could be today, it could be in 2 weeks, it could be, you know, wherever, so.
Yeah, and that's nerve-wracking too, because, mm-hmm. so I haven't had my shower yet, and my, like, big family shower is in the beginning of November, and so clear I want to make it to my shower,
right.
And she still needs to cook a little bit more, but you're absolutely right, because the doctor even said, so she's measuring at 31 weeks, it could happen any time now. And I was like, oh, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, I like to plan, and mm-hmm. you can't. You just have to be like, okay, I'll take it day by day, week by week, and see what happens. And I think I get more anxious with, like, my clients and making sure they're good. And mm-hmm. I'm sure you felt the same exact way, like just making sure everything's put into place and that you're ready. You know, because then you got a little baby.
Yeah, I had that same feeling you did, though, Danica, with the shower. Like, I was, as I got closer, I'm like, will I make it to the shower? And I know after you have it, like, oh, yeah, of course I'd make it to the shower. But in your own head, because, again, it's so many unknowns, you're just like, I hope I make it to the shower. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. I know. So, come on, let's not this. I want to hear everything.
All right. So, it was a week ago. Well, a week and a day ago. So, she's a week and a day old today. Mm-hmm. So, I always go to the doctors on Wednesdays because that's my day off. So, it's the easiest way for me to do it. And I was joking with my doctor about how Wednesday would be a great day to just schedule a delivery, like we were joking earlier in the pregnancy, because it's my husband's day off. It's usually her low day for some reason and all that stuff. So because I've been measuring small, they had me do an ultrasound. So this was technically, it was 9 days early. So it was just under the 39-week mark. And they did an ultrasound and I knew something was up because my ultrasound lady wasn't really talkative. And I was like,
oh.
Yeah, and she's usually really bubbly and talkative. And she's just like measuring and not really saying much anything. And she's like, well, we'll just talk to Dr. Rainville and stuff. And I was like, okay, like waiting. So then I go into and it was just a regular checkup thing. So Mike wasn't with me. I should say that now too. But so I go into the doctor's office to wait for her. And this is where they were going to check to see if I was dilated and all that stuff and yada, yada, yada. And I'm sitting there just waiting. And my doctor walks in, who I've already talked about, has the really, she's clearly a pro at this. So she deals with women all the time, with all their emotions and just the craziness of delivering in humans.
Uh-huh.
She walks in and she just looks at me like a smirk. And,
yeah.
And I was like, is this good or bad? And she goes, we're going to have a baby today. And I said, oh, okay. And I, like, instantly, like, got, like, flushed, like, full face flushed. I started to, like, water and cry, like, and I was like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, I'm not crying, like, in a bad way. I'm just, you know, like, it's exciting and
yeah,
this is happening. She's like, yep, so go home. I'll call them and tell them that you're coming in, and then I'll call you to tell you when to go in. So I knew I was going in, and this was probably around, like, 10:30. And so I drove home. I live about 30 minutes from my doctor. And in the car, I called my mom first because Mike was sleeping.
Uh-huh.
So I called my mom, and I'm like, Mom? And then, like, I was like, they're having me come in. And I was doing fine. And then all of a sudden, I started bawling, like, I almost couldn't breathe. And I was like, who's going to take care of the dogs?
Oh.
So then I started, like, getting all crazy because, like, I just was worried about who's going to take care of the dogs and not even fathoming it that you're about to have a human. And it was kind of a silly thing, but I don't know if it was just a shock thing or whatever, or the way that I was handling it, but I started bawling because of the dogs. So
yeah.
So I get home, and thank goodness in that 30 minutes I got my shit together. And I walked upstairs to Mike, who was, I was waking up, and he was like, so you need to get up and pack a bag because we're going in today. And he's just like, oh, all right, we're doing this. Like, like no stuff. Still no emotion, still just kind of like very like himself, like who is that, Bill Stein? Oh,
yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. Monotone. So he gets up and he gets in the shower, and I'm like thinking like, shit, there's things I need to do. So of course I text you, and I was like, because I had literally just texted you saying, yeah, no, I'll be fine. I can do the podcast stuff on Friday. No big deal. And I was like, just kidding. Here you go. I'm going in.
Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. Oh my God. Oh my God. This is happening.
So I sent that off. I sent off some, this is so, I guess me. I sent off emails real quick to all my clients. And
yeah.
And text messages to all my clients because I had been scheduling them for the week, but then letting them know that I would let them know the date, like when I knew I was going in, I was going to let them know, and I was making it so that they would not pay me until I actually did the session with them. So almost the opposite of how I normally would. Normally my in-person clients, they have to pay before a session.
Yeah.
This time I was like, no, because it's me, you don't have to pay. And we were
right.
And even though if like their package were up, we were only doing one session at a time. So
okay.
And then my online people, and I made that little funny post of saying like, no, I'll have my laptop.
Yeah. I love that.
Which I did, by the way. I did do my emails when she was sleeping, which we'll get to. And still am doing. But anywho, so that was probably around 11 or 12 that I got home, and we were here until about 4 until they said you're gonna go in now. So
okay.
Maybe like 3:30 because we got there at 4. So
what did you do in that time?
I cleaned the house, sent off emails, just grabbed little things here and there that I was like, oh yeah, let's put this in the bag, let's put this in the bag,
right.
Even though the bag had been packed for a couple weeks. And then we just kind of hung out and just laid around, like I laid down on Mike for a little bit and just tried to relax and not freak out. So then we went in, and I gave birth at Mean Med in Portland, and it's an awesome hospital for labor and delivery. You get this huge room, You get a bed that breaks down right there. Mike's got a bed that he actually pretty much fit on. Like a bed, it's a couch. But I know. It was
awesome.
I know.
Because he's a big dude.
He is. He's huge. And you get a big shower. You get a labor tub. It's a big area to be in. So it was very comfortable. My nurses were all amazing. So I went into the hospital not effaced. And not dilated at all. So I was like zero effaced and like zero dilation. So they were pointing on the chart and they're like, this is like a 1 centimeter. This is like where you are, Christy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So they're like, this, they did the ripening agent. I forgot the name of it. It starts with a C. Cervidel is what I believe it was called. We use the Cervidel to get my being phased and just to start the dilation.
Right.
And they told me that was going to take about 12 hours. So just to get to ripen my cervix to start to dilate.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, so I knew at least 12 hours and then the next phase was going to start. Well, my night nurse came in at like 7 and she's like, has anyone told you how long this process usually is? And I'm like, oh, they said like 12 hours for this part. She like slowly stops folding and like stops talking for a second. And I was like, but clearly there's something else to the story. And she's like, is this your first child? And I was like, yes. She's like, well, and I was just like, great. Dot, dot, dot. My favorite ellipses. I love ellipses, but I hate when they're used against me.
Yeah.
She's like, the average is 72 hours for this, like for a first timer. It can be up to 5 days. And I was
my God.
And I looked at Mike and I like gave my like annoyed, pissed off face and I said, that's not happening.
I have shit to do.
Seriously. I just don't want to deal. And I hated the like going in and I was so just kind of upset because I had to be induced and I just have heard horror stories of how hard and painful and long the labor is when you have to be induced. So that was something I really wanted to stay away from, but the cards fell as they fell. So that's the way it's going to be. Or it was, I should say. So mine actually did not last that long. Thank goodness. So the good thing is my body's really good with drugs. Sucks them up and uses them really well. So when they put the Cervidel in, I started the dilation and contractions. So at around the 11-hour mark, so around 4 a.m., I was dilated 3 centimeters. I wrote it all down because I knew I was going to forget the details. But I believe Mike kept everyone updated, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was so helpful.
Right. So around 3, so my water actually broke naturally. So that was the first, like, they're, like, excited about that. So
how did that feel? What was that like?
Like you peed your pants, I think is the easiest way to say it.
Just like that? Like, did you feel it coming on, though? Or were you, like, did you think, oh, I have to go to the bathroom?
No, I didn't feel it coming on.
Okay.
Literally just kind of, like, it was like you poured water on your, like, lap. Almost.
Okay.
Like that feeling, how it kind of like comes out, soaks out.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep, it does.
And then I knew, I had a feeling it was my water that broke because it happened. Like it was like, I don't know, like a little bit of protein shake on your lap and then you did it again. So it wasn't a gush, but it was like you dropped it twice on you kind of idea.
Got it.
And then it kind of was just, it wasn't gushes, but it was like, ah, should I drop my water? Oh, should I drop my water? Kind of things
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
That's easy.
So at that point, were you feeling contractions?
Mm-hmm.
You were.
Yeah, I was feeling contractions almost from the moment they started, like, when they put the Cervidel in, because that can cause contractions, and that's what it's supposed to do. So I did start feeling the contractions pretty much right away.
What was that feel like?
Cramps. Like, at that point, muscle cramps, just, mm-hmm. like, you have to go poop or you have period cramps and you just have, an upset stomach.
Yep.
If you ever have used diuretics before, and, you know, if you've ever had a diuretic that hurts your belly a little bit, like, is the warning sign, like, get to a toilet, that's kind of how it felt.
Okay.
So that was...
Like a laxative? Like
yeah.
Like a laxative?
Yeah, like...
Okay.
Like you use like smooth moves for me. Hates me. That smooth moves tea like makes me want to like curl over because the cramps are so bad. So I don't like to use smooth moves, but that's my example. So it just started and I couldn't sit down. I was better standing up or sitting on the ball for a little while at that point. I was still doing okay. And I was at 2 centimeters at that 3:30 mark. So around 5:30, I was at 3 centimeters. So just kind of slowly going. But at 7:30, I was at 8 centimeters. So it progressed really quickly with everything. And then, so once my water broke, they were able to take the Cervidel out because it was right around my 12-hour mark too. So I was able to.
And it wasn't an IV?
No, they put it right up in you.
Right up in you.
Right up in you, right next to it. It's like a tampon almost, but
Awesome.
it's literally like very thin. It's almost like just a string of medicine that goes up in there, is what I saw. It was kind of uncomfortable what she put it in, but I was like, oh, this is going to be uncomfortable, but you're about to push a human out of there, so stop your bitching. But I was like, ooh. So after I was able to, I got into the tub because the contractions were starting to get a little bit tough, and it was... For me, the hardest thing was they were on top of each other. Like, they were coming at that point. They were still coming at, like, about a minute apart or every maybe even 90 seconds. But they were lasting 30 seconds. So I felt like I didn't have enough time to recover from one. So it was like, ow, ow, ow. But that was the easiest way for me to get through them is I was just saying, ow. I only cursed probably twice.
Oh, okay.
I know. We were pretty impressed by that. But ow was my favorite word, and trying to breathe through them and stuff. So that was around, let's see, the 5:30 mark or whatever. When I was 7, 8, I opted out for the drug that they put in your IV that's supposed to be like a couple glasses of wine to help with pain. So before you do, like, it's a less invasive painkiller than the epidural. So I did that, and instantly I was like, eyes shut, like my whole body was like just like a corpse, but the contractions were still a bitch. So I got to the point too where I was shaking so bad, like just I think the adrenaline going through, I was continuously shaking like I was like hypothermic. So
really,
yeah, so my body wouldn't stop tensing, so then even every contraction it hurt like a bitch, the contraction. But then I also was so tense and shaking that I couldn't relax.
Right.
And
right.
Mike at one point said, like, you're turning purple because you weren't relaxing and breathing, like your whole back and everything. At one point, like, I had to go to the bathroom before I could do the epidural, which I ended up doing, and my mom had to walk me there, and I had to like stop halfway because I couldn't make it from the bed to the toilet because there was a contraction. And then when I sat down on the toilet, like, they were on top of each other. My contractions were just very...
Is that typical with like, the stuff that they give you prior?
I think it is. Seems like it. I didn't have any Pitocin at that time. Everyone, I was like, oh, your Pitocin's probably going to make your contractions harder. I was like, well, I haven't had any Pitocin, and they suck already, so...
Right, yeah.
So it was rough. The contractions definitely made me realize that anyone who does this completely natural is a beast. Like, they are amazing.
So do they get, like, does the intensity increase as, like, you got further and further and further along? Like, did it get harder and harder? Like, the pain was worse and worse?
You know what? I don't know if the pain was worse or if it was because I just couldn't recover. Like, I literally could not. Like, if you're doing a set, you can have, like, 30 seconds, and then you're like, okay, I'm good, like, to recover, you know, in a set.
Right.
Now, in this world, it was not easy to recover. So that was, I think, the hardest thing. So I wasn't able to get my breathing down or, like, my body to relax in between to recover to do it again. So then I opted in for the epidural.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that's just like, I'm always going to remember it in my mind where they raised the bed up so the anesthesiologist could put it in my back easily. And I can't see anything that's going on. And my nurse was amazing. And she had, Mike was sitting in front of me and I was holding onto Mike. Well, the bed was so high that, like, I could actually hold onto Mike like normally.
Yeah.
But it was just, the epidural was the best thing at that time because I was able to, my legs were like pins and needles and stuff like that, but I was able to relax.
Right.
So my contractions were still huge and I would feel a contraction, but instead of like the crampiness, you just feel something happening. Maybe like even like a drawn technique of your abs. So pulling your abs in and you kind of feel like your abs kind of tighten across the side, but it's not intense. It's just that tightening.
Right. Okay.
That's kind of what I felt. Or I would feel pressure as it got closer to the delivery part, a little bit more pressure towards my butt.
Yep.
So then, like, almost like you gotta go poop or just you sat down on something.
Yeah.
So I was fine, kind of sleeping, but not sleeping. And I could hear everything going on. And my family was there, like my mom, my dad, my stepmom, Mike, and me were there for this part of it all. And I would hear them talking, hear the TV going, and I would actually hear her heartbeat a lot. Well, at one point, they all, like, rushed in because her heart rate dropped below 50 and wasn't coming back up. So I knew something was wrong, but I didn't realize it at first because when you see, like, all of these people coming in And it's just like, oh. And my mom's just like standing next to me. She was like petting my head. Mike was napping at this time, but they came in and they did a internal monitor. So they attached a monitor to her head. And then they had that for the rest of the time. After that, she was fine, and I was listening to her heartbeat as I was like relaxing. So I'd hear it go down again, and then I would like wait for it to come back up. But I wasn't like, I was just like a shell. It was very interesting. It was kind of neat. It was nice to just sit and talk to my family too, but not be like in the conversation, but talk to them every once in a while. And they were watching my contractions, and they'd be like, "Could you feel that?" And I was like, "I felt that, but not like a before." So they came in, and I was at 10 centimeters, but I had like a rim of the cervix left. So, and then at this time, my contractions had slowed down. So they put me on Pitocin, and I did like, so I guess it goes like you start with like 2 clicks, is what the doctor kind of explained. A Pitocin, and they gave me up to 4 clicks. I don't know how many they go to, but they gave me enough Pitocin that it got the cervix all the way dilated, and I was all the way face, and I was all the way dilated, both of them. And then at 12:40, no, 12:15, they said, "We're pushing." So at 12, and we started pushing at 12:15, and we did, this is where everyone's gonna laugh, we did 7 sets of 3 pushes.
Yes, because I love that so much. I love that.
So 7 sets of 3 pushes for 10 seconds, well, a count of 10. The pushing part was not hard. The only thing that was hard is holding your breath. But I really am happy that I have I would say, a good brain-body connection, especially with my abdominals. And I joke all the time saying my abs are always a strength of mine. And I swear it was the Pilates, because they have you curl up and hold your breath, which was the hardest thing. I would hold back my legs. My mom was holding one leg, another nurse was holding another, and Mike was like up by my head and shoulders. Sometimes he helped push my shoulders up, so give me more of a Pilates like C scoop is what I'd call it. But during the pushing, I was able to really connect into my abs to feel like a more of a push. Yeah, it was only 45 minutes of pushing, which didn't seem like 45 minutes, to be honest. It seemed faster to me than that, but I couldn't really feel the contraction like the contraction would go at first for the first couple pushes. But the nurse was holding her hand on my stomach and watching the monitor. She's like, "Are you ready?" And I was like, "Yep." And then towards the end, I was like, I feel this. Let's make this happen. Go." And like I was telling them to do it again. So I was telling them when I was ready to go, and I was ready every time the contraction came. And it was really cool. And it was like, you know, you could touch the head. When I did, it was just slimy.
Really?
There's no like, it was just slimy. And then they're impressed by the pushing. I was joking because I was, you know, I'm trying to do my Pilates roll up is what I was doing. But I guess I have a client, Allison, who just did the Cape Cod show, and she did well. She placed second in her class, so congratulations on that to her. I was excited to be able to, because I had Belle on a Thursday, the 6th, whatever day the 6th was. I don't know. Okay, thank you. So I was able to talk to her all day Friday and Saturday. Side note, but she has a 16-month-old, and she told me a really good idea of envisioning and kind of connecting with Belle about having Belle push when I push. So have Belle push against me while I push against her, to help as a teamwork. So to make it a teamwork thing, to help envision us working together to push her out. And I guess during labor, I was saying that to Belle. It's like, "You push, I push. You push, I push." And yeah, and I'm a big visualization person. I used that when I was getting ready for my shows last year. Really, like, actually, I think all my shows mostly I would do like a meditation for it. But so I was kind of envisioning that. It was really kind of cool. It was when they put her on my chest. So I've come to realize in the past year or two that my thing that I do when I'm nervous is I laugh. So I was laughing when they put her on my chest. Like I was like that nervous, like laugh, like cry laugh, like, "Oh my God," like, "Oh my." So I was crying laughing, and I looked up at Mike, and Mike was like watery and like wiping away the wateries. So, and my mom was bawling. She was so cute. She was bawling. It was adorable.
Oh my God.
I did have a tear on my labia, so not actually on my perineum, but actually on the side. She said, my mom said she saw it at the very, like it happened at the very end, but yeah, I couldn't feel it obviously, but I couldn't even feel them stitching it up or anything. And I supposedly didn't poop, That's what everyone says, even my husband, and he would have told me because
Right.
I think he would have been like, it'd be great. It wouldn't be making fun of you and stuff. But,
And did you feel when she finally was out, like when the head came out, was that like a relief? Like, did you feel that relief?
yeah, I mean, once the head was out, it was a little, again, the epidural makes it a little different, I think, but there was a burning or a pulling, like they say, but it wasn't too intense. Remember, my baby's also really small. She's only 5'12", so she's not a big baby. My experience is probably very different than someone who's a 10-pound baby, because my baby was
Yeah.
half the size. But yeah, I definitely felt the stretching part, and this is where I think that maybe I caused myself to tear because I was so persistent on being like, this is it, this is it, this is it, you know, like in my own head. And I actually think I said that once to Mike too. I was like, this one's it, like as in I'm gonna get her out this time. So
Yeah.
being my normal overzealous self, I was like, this is now.
Now, this one's gonna be it. Come on, girl, you got
She's
this.
coming out now. And she was born at 1 o'clock on the dot, and she's, yeah, it was really cool. It was very cool. She latched right at, like right when they put her back on my chest after they did all of her little things. So they put her right
Oh,
up on,
that's amazing.
yeah, they put her right up on at first, and then they had Mike cut the cord, and then they took her to, you know, wash her off and like to just do her stats and stuff, and then put it right back on, and she started to leap, to latch. So that was pretty cool. But
Oh my God.
it was, and I stupidly said, and I said it to everyone in the room. I obviously made a joke too. I was like, okay, I can see why people would do this again.
Did you really?
Yeah. I mean, I said, but I said, I will walk in asking for
Yeah, right.
the
I can't imagine like the emotions. Ugh, I'm so emotional. So I
epidural.
start crying. But like when she's finally like on your chest, that must have just felt like amazing.
Yeah.
Just like a really good, like, oh, I did it. Like, here, this is this precious thing that I finally, like, I created this, and what an amazing thing. Like, I can't even imagine like how that must have felt.
Yeah, no, you're gonna make me cry too. It's okay. It was amazing to think, like, you know, you did this, and then you carried this for this long, and you know, this is your person now. And Mike and I, obviously, the way we handle it too is we make jokes, and
Yeah.
we're like, so, is there a class now to teach us what to do next?
Now what happens?
Yeah. It was really cool to have her there for a second, but then when to take her back after two was, I mean, the whole every day, every moment, it's just really, it didn't stop. It hasn't stopped yet to have that moment yet, you know. And it's weird, like, I hate to be cliche about it, but it is, it's true. It's like you never know what you don't know, like, and you can,
Right.
and I think this has been my theme through the pregnancy is, you know, I always viewed the world in one way, my own way, from my own experiences. And you know, you can be judgy or you can have your own opinion because you don't know it, and you're just like, oh, that's cool. And not even judgy, like saying, like, when people, you see how people, like, after they have their kid, they're just like all about their kid, and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Like, huh. Like, I know that I didn't feel that way before. Like, I couldn't see myself being that kind of person that was like, oh my God, my kid, or oh, it's a love like no other. Like, everyone says that to me, and I was just like, okay, sure, I'll trust you. But
Yeah.
like, I didn't understand or have that realization that that would be true, and it's true.
Yeah.
And
It is.
yeah, it's really neat. And sometimes, like, my dad's like, you know, I never thought you wanted to have kids before. And I was like, well, I actually, Mike and I talked about it after my dad left, because my dad's just a man who says things that he shouldn't sometimes. And Mike was like, did you really never want to have kids? And I said, no, it's not that I just had phases of my life where I didn't think it was gonna happen. And most of my phases of my life was I didn't think I'd have kids. Not that I didn't want, well, it just, they weren't in my phase at that time.
Right.
It's definitely exactly what happens. It's a very emotional, awe-inspiring thing that's like, you're like, oh my God, like, this is amazing. She is amazing. She'd do no wrong. Kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing.
Awesome. So how did like your body feel? You're 1 week out, and how has your body kind of shifted and changed, and how is your breastfeeding?
So the body is doing good. So the weight is down roughly. I didn't weigh myself for anything today, but I weighed yesterday. and is down 18 pounds, which was amazing to think. Like she's only 5'12" when she was born. And Mike was like, "Well, the placenta was huge," so he looked at it and
Oh.
passed it off. So I was like, "Well, it wasn't feeding her enough, clearly." So that asshole had to go. But so down 18 pounds. So I only have like 12 pounds to lose. Like I 12 to 13 pounds loose, but my body feels so different. It feels so, I feel like someone stuck a straw on me and sucked out everything, and I'm just left like with skin, on cartoons. It
Okay,
just like I maybe it's because I was so used to how full my body felt, and I was like curvy, and I was like, okay, yeah, I weigh more, but man, my butt's still kind of like firm, and everything's firm, and now I'm like, not so firm, and just kind of there. But not in like a bad way, but it's just interesting to feel that. I feel like my energy is really low, as in strength wise. That's hard. I've had to go to the doctor's twice, with just for her because she is low weight. So we went on Monday, which was a few days after she was born, and then we went on Wednesday. From Monday to Wednesday, she gained 5 ounces. So they were shocked. Yeah, they were looking just for 2 ounces, but she gained 5, so that was really good. We go back again on Monday or Tuesday next week to see. But so the the vajay is good unless I get up and walk around a lot. Like we went for a walk yesterday, and it was very gingerly. The boys and Mike were doing laps literally around me pushing the cart, just slow. Slow, you realize, like, oh, you're as a trainer that you have a lot of muscles that attach into your groin, but you don't ever really think, like, oh, my vagina, like, would feel this step.
Oh my gosh. Today, a client said to me, I haven't seen her since last week, and she was like, "Have you talked to Christy? And what are those tadpoles?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "I know I have not talked to her because she is selfishly waiting to speak to me, but I have a feeling they're for her vajayjay." And what a great idea!
Yeah, Pinterest saves the day again. So
Amazing.
yeah, they're pretty good. They're not cold for a long time, but they're cold like good for a while. And I ice pack. I send them an ice pack at least once a day. And I also my doctor okayed the Epsom salt bath, so it feels really good to sit in Epsom salt bath, and I just relax a little bit. So like I'll feed her, and she we'll get into her schedule in a second, but I'll feed her, and then she like pretty much just conks out. So Mike will be down with her, and that would be like my me time, as I go in and just sit in the bathtub and read. So I do the same thing that I did before. Like I sit and read for, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes or so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so good that like you still have that me time and you're still like taking time for you, especially it's a huge adjustment. And the fact that she's sleeping so well, it sounds like, and we'll get more into the feeding schedule, but it sounds like you have her on a schedule.
Of course. My life
Of
high.
course.
Of
I mean, come
course.
on. Excel spreadsheet.
The poor girl. I won't be a helicopter mom, but I definitely be like someone like, okay, it's this time. We gotta get this done. Poor little Belle. So let's see, that brings us to kind of coming home. In the hospital it was fine. It was actually I like it a lot more being home, because in the hospital they check on you every 2 to 3 hours maybe, and they do a glucose test on her, and she passed all of her glucose test.
Good. Really quick on that, did you know that normal blood sugars for like an infant are right around like 45, 47? Like that's normal?
Yeah,
Because
that's
for me, I would be like, I need juice.
yes.
And I was just told that today from my diabetes specialist, and she was like, don't be alarmed when she's at like 45. And
Right.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
But that's good that she like passed all of that.
Yeah, she was, I think the first time they did it was like 47, and they said if it goes below 45, they would have to take her into the NICU or do something with her feeding. But she got up to, before we left to the left the hospital, she was up to 68. So yeah, she was very, very sleepy the day after, so she didn't eat enough. I feel she didn't wake up enough to, so I had to hand express, and that was a bitch because it was like you're like squeezing, 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 squeezing for a while, and then like you get like a 1 cc syringe full of food for her, and I'm just like,
Oh my
all this
gosh.
for this. And then the lactation specialist came in and she gave me the double pump, so I got a little bit more. And I was having to pretty much force feed her. And I was like, this sucks. And so that was the first day. But then she did cluster feeding the next day. So it was pretty much she was on my boob the whole day. One boob, one boob, one boob, one boob. So that was a good thing. And now she's pretty consistent with every 2 to 3 hours, almost to the dot where, for instance, this morning I woke up. So we usually feed around 10 and then maybe like one or so, like give or take. Like there's some back and forth times, but so I woke up at 1 with my alarm, but I'll set alarm just to make sure that I can get her up and going. And the way to kind of get her up if she's not up is to change her diaper, because she hates being naked and, she hates not having a diaper on. She doesn't mind being naked because we did a lot of skin to skin, and I love that. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
I would sit around the house with no top on and no top on for her. Just literally hang out in my diaper and her diaper.
I love it. Your frozen pad and her diaper.
Yes, exactly. So we do a lot of that still. And even breastfeeding, we still do skin to skin. I went to the lactation specialist yesterday, the day before, and it was really helpful. The lady was awesome. At first, I did the nervous laugh again because she was just like grabbing her and like grabbing me and like putting her where she wanted her. And I was just like,
right.
Just because I was like, oh, is this hurting her? It's like, I don't know. She was very forceful, but I was talking to Mike about how, you know, we get coaches just to be in a swimsuit. Like I have a coach because I stand on stage in a bikini and tan.
Right.
Clearly it's great to have a coach in these things that you have no idea what you're doing is right or wrong. And you know,
right.
It could benefit both you and her for her efficiency of gaining weight, my efficiency for my nipples.
That's such a good pointer, because to be honest, I thought to myself, I get them through my insurance and I was like, I'll be fine. I don't need that. I have my mom. But honestly, like now listening to you, I'm definitely going to reconsider.
Yeah. I mean, moms are great, obviously, to help. Because they've obviously been there, and your mom has been there. But she's a specialist, and she's
exactly.
If I needed someone to help me with a workout, I'd get a personal trainer. I need someone to help me get my kid to latch onto my boob, I need a lactation specialist.
Right.
And for the first couple of days, one of my nipples is very raw now. It broke and bleed because it just her attachment wasn't as efficient. Her lower lip wasn't
the right
high
place.
Enough. Yeah. So it's getting better now though.
Okay.
And I put coconut oil. I have the nipple butter that I use and coconut butter. Oh, Oreo. Sorry. Coconut oil on it after every feeding. So now I've gotten to a routine where we change her diaper, she feeds, we burp her, and then I put her in her little bassinet thing. I go put the coconut oil on my nipples, and then if it's later, I'll go to bed and like sleep for 2 or 3 hours, get her up, and then I just do, that is literally my routine. Everything is very routine because it's my life.
Right.
That's
a good routine. So she's eating every 2 hours?
Every 2 to 3.
Every 2 to 3.
Yeah. I guess I eat too when I'll eat right after she eats sometimes too, because it's easiest time and I'm starving usually. So.
Yeah. How has your hunger been? Because I heard that it's ravenous, right after birth and during breastfeeding, you're ravenous.
Yeah. It was right after birth. It was pretty, I guess it was, I would say, relatively normal to hungry. I just wanted as much like snacky things like that were good though too. Like I guess it was just a normal for me, but since being home and stepping up our game and our schedule and stuff, I would say to her, our game. So everything with her is like I think of it as a team. So every time she's like, she does this thing where she gets like crazy when she wants to latch. She's like, she puts her hands in her face and she moves her head back and forth like crazy. I'm like, I gotta move your hands, but she's so tight like this and with her hands by her cheeks that it's like peeling her arms down and trying to straighten them or widening them. It's like a battle.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we gotta work together. So every time there's a moment of just her being fussy, I'm like, it's a teamwork, Belle. We gotta work together.
Right.
I haven't had a moment where I was like, oh my God, I can't take it. Because it's literally, she needs to be changed. She needs to eat, or she's just gonna go to sleep. But Usually it's just she wants to eat or she needs to be changed and she's fussy. So
Yeah.
she's eating well. She's latching well now, especially now that we went to the doctor. And my food is, I'm pretty much eating whatever right now. My cousin came over and she made peanut butter cookies, brownies, and caramel apples. And she didn't know that like, I had been craving caramel apples. I was joking with her.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that I wanted this? And she's like, no. I was like, but she goes, I'm going to make you all the bad things now because you won't eat them normally. So I
Yeah.
was like, hey,
Aw.
whatever you want. So my mom made some shepherd's pie for us, and she made it the way I would eat it with sweet potatoes instead of regular potatoes. And this morning, Bella had a poop that was very light. The color was very close to my sweet potato shepherd's pie, and I was like, well played, because it got all over my, like it was our first like mini blowout, and I was just like, all right, yep, so that's gonna be eaten around the same time. Good, good, let's wash those hands.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
And
Aww.
my first, like, is it poop or is it?
My
Oh gosh.
God.
Yeah, it's, I think we got blessed with an easy baby. I'll just say it that way because it's not as hard as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. What's like, what do you be the most difficult part so far? Like, it's only been a week, but like, is there any part that you're like, ah, I didn't really expect this?
No, there's nothing that
No.
I didn't expect. She's healthy, so there's no health issues, which I think makes it easy too. It's just she needs sleep or she needs to eat. Sometimes she's not done eating, I would say, and that's kind of like a okay, because then it's I can't go and do something. Sometimes just the hardest thing is the self-care, I think, like going to the bathroom every time and having to use like the Pell-Pet thing,
Okay.
the tube for the water, and just waiting for that to fill up because like you want it to be hot but not too hot, and you don't want it to, you don't want it to be too cold either because it's a little bit of a shock on the vajay when you
Right.
spray that sucker on
I can imagine. Oh my God.
So that's like the most annoying part is like you're like dancing because you have to go pee, and then you're like, oh God, I have to wait and put my hand on this hot water. Like that's my only complaint. And just a little bit sore, but besides that, I had a feeling that's what it was gonna be.
Yeah.
I don't feel different. Like I'd say I'm sleeping, so I sleep from 10 to 1 or whatever. So she'll eat until 11. So from 11 to 1, I'll sleep and then wake her up, or she'll wake up until 2, and then I'll sleep from 2 to 5:30. So my sleep is there. Like I'm getting sleep, but
Right.
It's only at 2 or 3 hours at a time, and I sleep at the night. And then I'm trying to remind myself not to do a lot of things during the day and just relax. So I still do my online clients when she's sleeping, like I was doing it today earlier. And then I just relax a little bit, sit around. I try not to focus on the dishes but I still do them every once in a while and still do laundry, even though I'm not supposed to. Well, not that I'm not supposed to, but they say to relax and do it. But of course, me being a sketchball, just being like,
Right.
this needs to be done. This needs to be done right now. So I still
So
do.
they do tell you just to relax.
Yeah, I mean, my doctors didn't. They didn't be like, Christy, relax. You know, everyone says to relax.
Right. I don't know what that means. Can you define relax to me?
I agree. That's the problem. I carried up a little laundry from the basement yesterday, and Mike gave me a dirty look. He's like, you could have just told me to get that. I'm like, it's been down there for a day. I needed it to come up. It was on my mind all day yesterday, being
Yeah.
crazy OCD. I think the hard thing, too, has been the dogs a little bit because I feel bad because they're not getting enough attention. So Mike has really stepped up the doggy game and the cooking game.
Aww.
But they're really good with her. They just like give her little kisses here and there, and they always check in when she starts to cry. They come running downstairs or like run over to where she is. It's kind of cute. Let's see. I don't really know anything else that's kind of just the little bit of that soreness on the nipple, but it's again not as painful or as bad as some people make it seem.
Right.
I guess I'm sure when I listen back to this, I can hear myself talking that my energy level sounds a little different than normal, but.
You just had a
I
baby.
know. I just, but I, it's funny because you don't realize it, I think. Like, I didn't realize I probably felt tired or sounded tired until I started talking to you. I was like, oh, I do sound tired.
They actually just sound more relaxed.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. All my words are like, hi, hi. She'll say hi first because every time she she's awake or opens her eyes. I'm like, hi, baby girl. Hi, Belle. I'm like,
Aww.
everything.
So where is she sleeping? Is she sleeping in a co-sleeper?
She's sleeping in a bassinet next to us, but the first,
Okay.
back to the first night, we just did, and people are gonna probably yell at me for this, and I don't give a shit because it's my kid. I fell asleep with her on my chest with the boppy around her,
Okay.
and I was like
Yep.
sitting up, and we kind of slept like
Okay.
that. And Mike was next to us; he was watching us sleep. As in a way, he fell asleep a little bit too. But so you're not supposed to sleep with them like that, because you could roll on them or whatever, but I was just sleeping, literally didn't move at all, and it was amazing. And I can give two shits if anyone wants to tell you that it's not good to do, because that's
Yeah.
the way she wouldn't lay down in her bassinet. And we figured out actually, she likes to be seated more than laying down. So
Okay.
we fixed her bassinet up a little bit, might put some cushioning behind the mat in her bassinet, so she sits up more like she does in her rocker that we have downstairs, or in like a car seat, that kind of seated position.
Yeah.
She really likes that. That's how she'll sleep. And she started to sleep in the bassinet now like that too. The only thing, dress playing with the ball in the background. The only thing that's hard for me still to get a grasp on is if she's hot or cold. Like, is she too hot? Is she too cold? So I just try to work that. And she was so small that a lot of her clothes were too big.
Aww.
She's grown a half an inch in the week, so that's good. She's gonna be,
That's so good.
yeah, she's gonna be a string bean.
Oh my God, I cannot wait to meet her.
Yeah. Here, she's actually fussing. I'm gonna pick her up so you can see her a little. She's so stinking cute. I love it when her eyes are open, because they're just very expressive.
Aww, little bean.
But this is where you can tell she's starting to wake up, and she's getting a little fussy with her hands in her face. And
Yeah.
she does, here comes the dogs. There you go. The dogs are now sniffing her and kissing her head.
Oh my God. I loved that video you guys posted of her meeting the dogs for the first time.
Yeah, Dress was definitely more standoffish, and he's better now, but he was definitely not as up for, like, what is this? What is this little human? What is this? I have no idea what
Right.
it is. So she hates baths.
She didn't like baths, no?
Nope. She doesn't like being wet and naked.
Oh, she is too friggin' precious.
She's cool. She's cool. We'll keep her.
She's cool. Keep her around. I'll be there soon.
Yeah,
I'll be
exactly.
in that moment soon.
And we'll see if we can get to your shower. See how she does. You can see her then. Yay.
No, she is so precious.
Yeah,
Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Oh, it's great. I think it's fun to hear people's stories, because I think, like, as we went through it, or I went through it, and you're going through it still, is you never know. You don't know. You just kind of, no one really talks about it all enough to know what's really going to
Yeah.
happen, or what to expect, or how to feel, or, and yes, it's a unique thing for everyone, but it's, I don't know, it's kind of cool. Like, right now, my heart is literally melting just watching her wake up.
Yeah. And it's something to, I think talk about more with people who go through it and are going through it or would like to go through it, and just to hear your raw emotion like right now is so important, because I know that for me there are many days that I'm like tapped the fuck out, like I'm just done. And but then it's refreshing to be able to like talk to you and know like, ugh, okay, like there's that like emotion that I know that I can't wait to have. And yeah, like it's just refreshing to hear it, and it reminds you that it is all worth it.
It is. And the 3 a.m. feeding or the 2 a.m. feeding, is it's not so bad. One thing is, if for Matt, that Mike and I are talking about, is that it's hard for the dad at first, because he thinks like he can't do much for her when she cries, but that's why he's on diaper duty. When she
Right.
cries, he changes
Yeah.
diaper. The only thing he can't do is feed her, so like he has to wake me up for that if I'm sleeping, but that's the only thing. And I give him time to be with each other. So like now that he's up, I will, once we're done with this, she's gonna start waking up, as you see.
I've got a lot of open eye time.
Yeah, so he said, if no one heard him in the background, he said he's gotten a lot of open eye time, because he'll get her like right after I'm done eating, and if we don't put her in her bassinet sometimes, she'll be alert.
Okay.
So he gets to connect with her that way a little bit more. I don't
That's
always,
really important, because
yeah.
I do hear that often, that the dads kind of feel like, what's my place now? Mm-hmm. And because they don't need me, but it's good to like make sure that they have like a role, mm-hmm. or like a responsibility or something. And then that one-on-one time too is so important, because I think that there's like a deeper, obviously you get one-on-one time when she wants to feed, mm-hmm. and you get that skin to skin, and mm-hmm. good for daddy to get that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's pretty alert, which makes it cooler too for him. So
yeah,
she looks around and she just stares, so it's neat. But for people who are in the fitness thing too, one thing, like, I just like try not to obsess about your weight and everything, because it literally is, it should be, I'm going to say this harshly, it should be a non-factor, because your weight is not a thing. It's her weight or his weight. That is the factor. Like, eat what you have to eat to keep her alive and to feed her. And, you know, it can be good foods. I'm not saying you have to eat cookies or caramel apples. I just did, because they're delicious. But just remember, don't be scared of that, because you gotta nourish her if you're in it, or him if you're going to breastfeed them, but also for your own energy to keep it up with the, you know, right foods. And right foods can be some things that are not as clean, but think about how much power and packed energy you'll get with the clean foods too. So
yeah, that's a really good point. Did you change like your meal planning at all, or are you just thinking, I'm just gonna eat whatever to make sure that I have enough food in my boobies, mm-hmm. to feed her?
I haven't started measuring it yet. I haven't started tracking my food yet. I'm just going with what I need. So every time, literally, I'll eat something every time after she's done eating. Yes, there's cookies here and there, but nothing like crazy. Just all the food that we've made, it's still the normal food that I would normally eat.
Right.
So yeah, it's nothing major change different, but I also, once we get into a habit more, I will track it to make sure I have enough.
Right, right.
And as I get more mobile too, because that's going to be a big factor. So once I'm more mobile, we need more calories. So
right, yep.
Yeah, but
I love her. I wish our viewers could see her, but
she just pooped, if that helps.
She just pooped. I love her even more.
Yeah.
Way to go, Belle.
They're more like sharts than poops.
Oh.
Yeah, so we'll have to put a little bow on this one, because she's starting, you see how she's doing little face things?
Give me the boob, Mom. Yeah. Give me the boob.
She's like, it's that time, Mama.
So,
excellent. So we'll put a little wrap on it. One thing I am very grateful for, obviously, is Belle. But it's one of those things, like, I posted about it the other day. Again, being in sports, maybe. It's a team thing. So from the nurses to the whole staff at the hospital to my mom and Mike, obviously, it's been the village and all my people that have come and stopped by and brought things and brought food, and it's been awesome. So if you do have a friend, offer to bring food, and bring food through the whole time. So every time anyone's like, can I come over? I'm like, yes, and you can bring food, whatever, I don't care, whatever you want to make.
Yeah.
It's been a really cool thing. And then if you get frustrated, just think of it in a way that relates to you. So for me, I use the kind of a team thing where, you know, we're Team LeConte now. So I work with her, Mike and I work together, Mike works with her. It's a team dynamic that everyone works together to do their part. Belle's part is to eat and sleep. So
yeah,
I make sure that she does that. And my job is to feed her and to try to recover. And Mike's job is to feed me. And help me recover. It's just a team thing that if you kind of get that in going, it helps a lot too.
Yeah. I love it. My grateful thing is that I'm so happy that I finally was able to talk to you and see you and just listen to everything. And what an amazing, amazing job, Mama, that you did. Look at that baby that you created.
I know, it's nuts to think. It is really nuts to think. And she's, like, as it goes through the mannerisms of everything, it's like, oh, that's me. Or that's my, here. She sleeps with her hands really close to her face. Even if you swaddle her, she'll bring them up as close as she can. I'm going to take a picture of what she looks like right now. I'll give it to you. All right. Well, we will wrap this up. Thanks, Danica, for being patient and listening, because I was like, I want to talk to you in person.
I know.
This is our person. And hang in there. It's a little tough, I know. And this is going to be a tough, maybe like 8 weeks for you.
Yeah.
You know, but it'll be good. And you have your shower coming up, so that will be fun. And it kind of gives you like a checkpoint and be like, yes. And then from there, you'll kind of like cruise it out.
Right.
Happy and healthy. All right. You want to say bye?
Bye, my love bunk. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. You're so cute. Okay. So we will talk to you guys all soon. We will keep doing this as long as we can. Obviously, there'll be a point where Danica will have to take a week off and have to, you know, deliver at some point. But we will make all the stuff happen as much as we can in the next few weeks.
That's right.
Oh, she's fussing.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. So you follow us on Instagram at championchat360. Message us on that or Gmail, championchat360@gmail.com. I hope you guys have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Love it.